Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. For questions or to discuss the issues that you may be dealing with right now, we invite you to call the number 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. We're live on the air and online right now, so you can call and get an immediate answer to your question or discuss those important issues you face in life right now. Again, that toll-free number is 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It's so good to be here on this Monday to talk about the Lord Jesus and this gospel message that we take our stand on, and as far as salvation, as far as life, as far as everything. That's how important this gospel message is. I think that's one of the downfalls that we see in America. We have the gospel message in a lineup of important things. It's just one of many instead of being the one thing that should shape and form and help us in every other thing. I mean, the gospel message is that vitally important because it's life to us. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. His new life enables us to live because he lives, we live. And his life has become our very life. That's the gospel message. And when we look at it as just one message among many, then we kind of miss the boat as far as what this gospel is all about. For example, today is the 800th anniversary of the Magna Carta.
800 years.
800 years. And an incredible document that was penned in 1215. It was penned because the King of England was taking his authority past the limit. He was doing whatever he wanted to do. So the Magna Carta introduced the rule of law.
Yes.
And so it subjected the king to the law so that he could not treat people the way he used to treat people. But it was a document about freedom, about our individual freedoms and that sort of thing. Well, where does that freedom come from? Well, it comes from the gospel message. The gospel message is the message of freedom. It's a declaration of freedom from sin and death. Well, when we understand that gospel message, then it can shape how we look at things out there in the world and can help us write things like the Magna Carta. And to push those freedoms out beyond just the Church of Jesus Christ. And that's what we've seen in history. So we have to take the gospel message as the central message of life. And from there, it can push its way out into every other area of life.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We have plenty of open lines. As a matter of fact, they are wide open right now at 844-322-2742. The best opportunity you're going to have today to call and get your question answered or pose the subject that you'd like to discuss on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and my name is Bob Davis again. 844-322-2742. That's the number to dial right now. Well, guys, in the meantime, a question from Jose, who listens on One Place in Tampa, Florida. He says, I'm coming to you guys with tears as I write. I have this problem. Everything I do is wrong. I smoke an e-cigarette, and I take medication for depression and anxiety, and I'm so frustrated. Does God hate me because of this? Everyone says God has a purpose for each of us, and I just don't know mine. All I have is faith and love for him. It's like I feel he might be so angry and fed up with a person who doesn't have a purpose. I am so sad. That's from Jose in Tampa.
Well, Jose, thank you so much for reaching out. Thank you for asking that question. It's an important question. You know, he's looking at symptoms. He's got depression. He's obviously struggling with nicotine addiction and using the e-cigarettes and all of these sort of things. But underneath all of that is this question, does God hate me? Is he angry with me? And when you don't know the answer to those questions, when you are actually answering yes to those, does God hate me? Yes, he does. Is he angry at me? Yes, he is. Then all of these other symptoms, they're just going to get worse. They're going to intensify. Because if God hates you, if God's angry with you, what hope do you have? Where are you going to go? Where in the world are you going to turn to find answers, to find something that will help you break out of those depressing thoughts and emotions and those sort of things? So to break free, we have to start with the most basic question of all. Does God love us or does he not? Well, the cross of Jesus Christ answers that powerfully. In Romans 5:8, Paul wrote this: while we were yet sinners, Christ demonstrated his love for us, that he died in our place. We see that same sentiment echoed in 1 John. But God so loved us that he sent Jesus as the propitiation for our sins. So in the cross of Christ, we see an incredible demonstration of God's love. That should answer the question, does God love me or does he not?
Right.
But we have a hard time believing that. We have a hard time of really accepting that. And oftentimes we have a difficulty there because we're thinking that God loves good people, that God loves those who act right and behave right. And it's kind of like, you know, he's a Santa Claus. He's checking the list, finding out who's naughty or nice. And so the nice kids get the toys, the naughty ones, they get to stand in the corner. And that's how we perceive God. But God's not like that. God doesn't judge us on the basis of our actions. He sent Jesus to take away our sins. And as a result, as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5, he's reconciled us to himself in this, that he is not counting our sins against us. So any person on the planet can say that is true about them. God is not counting their sins against them. That's good news. And that's where we have to start. Mm-hmm. And that's truth that will start setting a person free. So, Jose, I think it's important to get that central question answered. Does God truly love you? And the answer is yes. God so loved you, Jose, that he sent Jesus so that you who believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's good news.
That is good news. And, Jose, hope you're listening and hope that's been a help to you.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Long Island, New York, and talk to Linda listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Linda.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing fine, thanks.
Good. My question is about the Sabbath and, you know, what is a Christian's place in the Sabbath? I try to keep Sunday holy, you know, go to church, do Bible study, and spend the day with the Lord. But, I think that's all very confusing for me.
Okay, Linda,
let's
see if we can clear that up for you, because the Word of God has some specific answers about the Sabbath and how we as believers in Christ relate to the Sabbath today. And I think it's going to be some good news for you, Linda. So hopefully we can clear that up. Richard, what is the Sabbath? Is it Saturday or Sunday according to the law?
According to the law, it is Saturday. According to Jewish time within the law, Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown. That's the Sabbath.
That's the Sabbath. And the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments says that we're to keep that Sabbath day holy.
Correct.
Okay. What else does the scripture say about the law? Is it the reality? Has it been replaced by something better today?
Yeah, it has. The law was a beautiful picture, a beautiful shadow, the way the writer to Hebrews puts it, pointing forward to Jesus. And when Jesus came, he fulfilled all of that. And now the reality is found in Jesus. So that means the Sabbath rest gets to change. It's no longer just a particular day of the week. It is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week Sabbath that we get to spend resting in Christ, because his work is done, therefore our work is done.
Linda, is that making sense, that in Christ it's no longer a day, it's really a rest in the finished work of Jesus? Linda?
Yeah, I'm here. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm still really confused about it. It just doesn't click in my head, you know. I feel like there should still be a day in the week that we spend to worship God.
Well, that can be any day, Linda. That can be a Sunday. That can be a Wednesday. That can be a Friday night. That can be a Saturday. It can be any day of the week, and that's a good thing. But the Sabbath, the fourth commandment, was foreshadowing a reality that we experience by faith in Jesus Christ. Here's what the writer of Hebrews says. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work just as God did from his. And he says, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. So, Linda, as far as your sins are concerned, and as far as forgiveness is concerned, and as far as reconciliation is concerned, Jesus Christ did all the work necessary to forgive your sins, to take them away once and for all, to reconcile you to God the Father, and to provide you life everlasting. That was all done by grace. Now, you can look at that and say, well, wait a minute, isn't there something that I need to do? Isn't there something that I need to add to it? Well, the answer to that is no. And when you finally understand the answer to that is no, and you rest in what Jesus Christ has accomplished for you, you rest in the shed blood of Jesus, you rest in the resurrected life of Jesus, you enter in to that Sabbath rest. You begin to experience that Sabbath rest. And as Richard was saying, that's a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week type of thing. So the commandment, that fourth commandment, was a shadow of what you could experience every day of the week by faith in the grace of God extended to you in Christ Jesus. So is there anything that you need to do to earn God's love and acceptance?
No.
So when you rest in that, you're experiencing the Sabbath. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I guess it kind of does.
Yeah. Well, I want you to, you know, when you look at it just as a day, you're going to miss the big picture of what God wants for you. And then when you get the big picture of what God wants for you, when you go on Sunday and worship the Lord, it becomes even more meaningful to you.
Mm-hmm.
So look at the big picture. See that God has an eternal rest for you in Jesus. By faith, enter into that rest. Thank him for the fact that he completed his work. He finished his work through his death on the cross, that he is alive, living in you, and that you are forever in his favor, forever in his good standing. And nothing will ever change on that regard. And so when you rest in that, you experience the Sabbath, and then when you go on Sunday and worship, that becomes more meaningful.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. And, Sarah, I believe you have lines that you're holding, and so hold on to them. We'll get to you in just a moment. But I want to remind you, friends, that, you know, giving through Basic Gospel makes a difference in the lives of people here and now. The message that you hear every day underscores the fact that you don't have to wait for the sweet by and by to enter God's rest. It's available here, and it's available now. And his desire is for you to rest in what he has already done through Jesus Christ. And when you give to and through Basic Gospel, you are indeed touching lives and making a difference. And to keep the good news coming, join with us today if you can by making your most generous gift. And help make sure that this message remains on the air, changing lives by the truth of God's Word. And with your gift this month of $15 or more, you're going to receive a copy of Bob Christopher's brand new book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Had good news on that today. And that's, of course, to be released next month.
It is to be released July 1st. Might not make it to bookstores until about July 10th or 15th, something like that. But we're getting a shipment of them in our office tomorrow.
Yes.
And it's going to be an exciting day. Many of you have already ordered the book, and so we will be sending those out this week. You will be getting your copy. If you haven't ordered a copy of it, you haven't made a contribution to Basic Gospel, we want to put this book in your hands. Yeah. I think it's going to be a wonderful resource, a wonderful tool to help you grow in your relationship with Christ Jesus, to understand some of the things that Linda was asking sure. about, because that is vitally important. I'm not so sure Linda, you know, I think she's still going to be wrestling with this idea of the Sabbath. We want to help wrestle, you know, through that with her. Continue to do that. But it's an important thing, the freedom that we have in Christ, this new life that we have in Christ, the forgiveness that we have in Christ. These are things that we wrestle with that we're not sure of, but things that God wants us to be sure of. And that's what this book is all about, is to help you enter that rest, to rest from your work so that you can really experience this relationship and this life that you have in Christ to the full.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you want one of the first copies of this book, I would say, you know, pick up the phone, call and talk with Billy, or go to our website and order it. You can be one of the first people to have a copy of this book in your hands. And what we hope will happen is that you will read it, you will be blessed by it, and that you will pass it along, or that you will buy more copies. And let this be one of your go-to tools, as my friend Henry Schaefer described the book, as a go-to tool to share the grace of God with others. That's what our hope and prayer is that you will take these books and spread the word, get the word out and into the lives of others.
Bob's new book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and again, it's yours for a gift of $15 or more this month. We hope you'll make your most generous gift by clicking donate at basicgospel.net, or as Bob said, you can speak with Billy, our operator, right now at 844-412-2742. That number again, 844-41-BASIC.
Let's go to Mary Jo in Louisville, Kentucky, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. My question is this, and I've kind of got lost listening to Linda's and you talk about it. But my question, I'm trying to, this is going to test your memory, but you talked one day about the guy that called up about forgiveness and about lying, and you said, you gave the example of yourself, you said, say I tell a lie and I die. And I think you said because of what Christ has done, you'll be in heaven because you're forgiven. Is that right?
It's because I'm forgiven and because Christ made me alive. That's what the gospel message is all about. And so 2,000 years ago, God saw all of my sins, not just some of them. He saw every single one of them, and he dealt with it in Jesus. And so the punishment that I deserved, Jesus took. And so there's no more punishment for me. So when I'm made alive, fully alive, that's a forever transaction. I am completely, totally saved, and nothing will change that. That's how big the grace of God is.
Well, that's wonderful. And I just had to make sure because I was doubtful, see, and I said, well, it doesn't hurt to call. You might get a little scared at first, but once you start talking, you just kind of settle in with it. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, Mary Jo. Glad you called.
And Mary Jo, that's basic gospel.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for your call. Well, let's go to Queens and talk to Hazel listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Hazel.
Hi, how are you?
Doing wonderful. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. The 2 Timothy 3 stated that all the scriptures in the Bible are inspired of God and beneficial for teaching, reproving, for setting things straight. So therefore, I don't think we have the right. It also says that nothing should be taken away from the Bible or added to the Bible. So we don't have a right considered the Ten Commandments is null and void. If the Ten Commandments is null and void, therefore we should go buck wild and stop murdering and not love our neighbors and only love ourselves. It still applies. And the Bible also tells us that this is the reason why we should obey God as ruler rather than man. And this is concerning the Sabbath.
Well, Hazel, interesting interesting question and interesting comment there. You know, when we talk about the fact that we're no longer under the law, I mean, we're just saying what the Word of God has to say.
Yes.
And when we say that the law was merely a shadow of the realities that come to us in Christ, we're merely saying what the Word of God has to say. That's in Hebrews 10. It's also in the book of Colossians, chapter 2. So both Paul and the writer of Hebrews describe the law as a shadow, not the realities. The realities are found in Jesus. Also, Hazel, as far as our relationship to the law, we have something better, and his name is Jesus. Jesus has come to live inside of us. So he's never going to lead us contrary to what the law has to say, but he's also going to lead us at a much higher plane, a much higher level. So when the Bible says don't commit adultery, Jesus, you know, when you come to Christ and Jesus Christ is alive living in you, you understand that, and it's not your desire to commit adultery. But Jesus says, I want to show you what it means to love your wife as Christ loved the church. The law can't teach you how to do that. The law was limited.
God is not a God of mistakes. He don't make mistakes.
No, Hazel, so he doesn't make mistakes. And Jesus was always God's answer for man's problem. It was never the law. That's where we get messed up,
yeah,
is when we think that the law was God's answer to man's problems. Jesus is the answer to man's problems. The law didn't take away your sins, Hazel. Jesus did. And how did he do that? By fulfilling the law on your behalf. Hazel, if Jesus didn't come, you would still be dead in your sins. You would still be hopeless. You would still be lost. You would still be separated from God. You would still be under the condemnation of the law. But God sent Jesus, and Jesus died in your place, Hazel. Jesus' blood took away your sins once and for all. Jesus enabled it so that you could get to know God the Father, so that you could have life everlasting. The law served a purpose, and it still serves a purpose. It serves an incredible purpose, but it pales in comparison to what Jesus Christ does. The law was always a part of God's plan, still is a part of God's plan, but its purpose in that plan was to point us forward to Jesus Christ. And it's in him that we experience forgiveness, life, freedom, his presence, his peace, his power. That's what this gospel message is all about. Well, Hazel, thank you for your comments today. I appreciate the conversation, and we encourage you to call again, okay?
Good to hear from you, Hazel, and everybody that called. Thanks to Jose for his email question, to Linda and Mary Jo, and again, to each of you who called. We are here every day so that you can get an immediate answer to your question or discuss the important issues in your life. And we want to also invite you to download the Basic Gospel app that is available in the App Store right now. You can listen live, catch up on the radio archives, read the blog, watch our videos. It all works. It works on the iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch. So take advantage of that in the Apple Store. It's the Basic Gospel app. We're excited about that. We're also excited about Bob Christopher's brand new book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, that is yours for a gift of $15 or more this month to the Ministry of Basic Gospel. And you can make your gift by clicking donate on any page at basicgospel.net or by speaking with our operator at 844-412-2742. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now, for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel, and we'll see you then.